Ready for the music?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You'll be cool.
Welcome back to analysis of weird French porn films.
King French.
Claire, which weird French porn film did you pick for us this week?
This week, Michelle, I suggested we all watch Holy Motors, which was a
delightful
romp, I believe.
Sorry, why did you pick it?
Well, now, I thought someone had not recommended it to me, but suggested it might be worth watching. And so I suggested that you lot watch it. I watch it as well. And then I sent them a message to berate them, and we had no idea what it was. So
interesting.
I may have imagined it. I don't know. I don't know why I recommended it. Someone told me about it. I don't know who that someone is.
Oh, that's fantastic.
There we go.
The plot thickens. Because you told me who that person was, and I'd been thinking less of them ever since.
Yeah. So what did everyone think?
I'd love to know what Fernando thought.
What did I think?
Take your time. I understand the delay.
That it was a very unique film. It was unique. Yes.
Yep.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
Brilliant. I give it unique out of 10.
I have had it up to here with the French.
You tell them.
Oh, this film is beloved by film people, and I hate when I don't get what film people get, because it makes me feel dumb. But I didn't get it. I genuinely was like, try and like it. Watch this scene and try and like it, and just stop being so against it, and I just couldn't. I just thought, this is repulsive and boring. I just can't wait for it to be over. There's some mild amusement with the appointments premise. You know, there's something in that. I thought that was quite fun, I suppose. There's one scene that tickled me, and then I was just dying for it to end, though. I quite liked the fake uncle dying. I didn't like it, but I liked the way it ended with them both saying, I've got to get to another appointment.
Okay.
It was sort of mildly charming.
Was that meant to be funny?
I've no idea.
There was a dog in that scene, though, so that scored a lot of points.
Ah, I see.
For me, that did a lot of heavy lifting.
You just put a dog desperate in the corner of any shot and it's good.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so I think there were some good vitriolic words describing it there from Laura. It's repulsive.
What words would you use to describe it?
Is that a word?
I don't know. I don't speak French.
It was just nonsense, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It felt like it was deliberately confusing.
Yeah.
I had a point that it wanted you to get, but it didn't want to tell you what it was. And that just makes me angry.
Yes, it made me quite angry as well.
Yeah, there was a really cool idea, and they could have explained what was going on it, but they finished with talking cars as a massive, like, I just, the ultimate middle finger at the end. Like, we're just going to make it worse.
My client spent the whole day crisscrossing the city.
Rolling stones gather no moss.
But I say, who wants moss anyway?
Très juste comme toujours, mademoiselle 34-23-92.
It's a metaphor. A rolling stone gathers experience.
We are the rolling stones.
Some of us here are trying to get to sleep.
Oh, vous aurez tout le temps de dormir bientôt.
Yeah, I did not take kindly to this film. I was really hoping someone was going to have got it and be able to explain
Me too.
It.
Mainly I just wanted to have a good argument about it so that I could really rant about it. And I thought one of you might really like it and I could be like, with the other various French films that we've watched.
Well, Fernando thought it was unique. Is that something you could argue against?
Do you know, that's the one thing I don't think I can argue against. I have to agree that it was unique.
I can try and take the counter. Unless Michael likes it. Michael?
No, this is bollocks. There were several things I liked about it, but overall it wasn't worth it.
Okay.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Can really, I read really a quote from the director?
Rubbish. Oh, please.
So at one point he says, There's never any initial idea or intention behind the film, but rather a couple of images and feelings that I spliced together.
It was a pastiche.
I thought that sums it up. There's nothing in it at all. It's just some weird images that he came up with. Right. And decided. The entitlement.
At least he's honest.
Yeah. He said, is the film telling a story? No. It's narrating a life. The story of a life? No. The experience of being alive. Fuck off.
What? Oh, that's rubbish. You can say that about anything, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So he was like, oh yeah, I've had these like three ideas and I can't be bothered making any of them into a film in their own right. So I'll just sort of stint them together. I'll just be like, oh yeah, it's this guy acting them out in a day. That's the story.
It reminds me of the argument we had over The Green Knight, and now I'm on your side, Michael, where I was like, it's open to your own interpretation. Why do you need everything to be spelled out for you? You know, it's all just, it's all up there. And you were like, well, we may as well go and see a film that's just a red dot, and then we'll spend 2 hours looking at it, and then we'll come out and be like, oh, I wonder what the red dot meant. And that's the experience watching this film.
I don't remember saying that, but that's exactly how I felt about The Green Knight and this film. It's not good enough, is it? Your job as a storyteller, if you're making a film, and you can't just be putting random stuff on the screen and saying, well, it's up to your interpretation. At least not unless... maybe you can, but the things have to be worthy in their own right.
Yeah.
Maybe he could have made 9 short films, each of which was interesting and experimental, but several of those were just pretty crap.
Yeah, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs did that, and that was phenomenal. Mm. That was
And they were all different.
Short films, just brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, perfect example. That's the Coen brothers doing this thing right. And they were linked by a theme. They were linked by a premise. They were made into like this storybook motif. And they all had different styles, and they all had different viewpoints. And some of them were a bit open to interpretation, but they basically made sense. Whereas this, what was this?
They had a narrative, though. They were stories. This was clearly intentionally trying to be like, there's no narrative. This is postmodern. Mm. It's a poem. You know, it's one of those poems that doesn't make any sense. It just has loads of random line breaks in it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It made me think of basically theatre, like contemporary theatre, where they just do stuff to be shocking and unexpected, and it's just a load of wank that doesn't. That it's just for, just so self-indulgent and
yes,
that such a failure to reach an audience, and as we're saying, loads of the critics really loved this, but I wonder whether any of them cried watching it. I wonder if any of them really laughed like from the bottom of their heart when they were watching it, or were they enjoying it on a sort of, oh, I think I understand what they might have done there. Sort of, I'll take a note about that.
Mm-hmm.
Was it really doing something meaningful? And I can't say that I think it was.
Yeah.
I like some of them, but.
I really want to make the counter argument just for the sake of an argument, but I just don't know where to start. I read somewhere that it was some sort of parody of, not parody, but telling of the death of cinema.
Oh my God. Also, yeah, it was kind of about that, wasn't it? This idea that... So can we summarise what the sort of sci-fi premise was of why he's doing this, why he's an actor that's just playing random roles?
Is that what he was?
Oh, no. Well, that's what I thought.
I thought he was just a man who had a series of appointments to make.
No, they were made by an agency.
Yes.
And there was a comment made about the cameras getting smaller.
Je regrette les caméras. Quand j'étais jeune, elles étaient plus lourdes que nous. Ensuite, elles sont devenues plus petites que nos têtes. Aujourd'hui, on les voit plus du tout. Alors oui, moi aussi, j'ai du mal à y croire parfois.
And so he was just doing it for the art now because he didn't even know where the cameras were.
See, he was performing, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was acting out each scene, wasn't he?
Fernando, did you say if you liked it, Fernando? Did you get anything out of the experience of watching it? What was your thoughts and feelings while it was playing?
Well, I liked some of the outfits. That's like maybe yes, I liked some of the outfits.
Which outfits?
Well, the leprechaun. Was it a leprechaun?
Mm-hmm. seemed to be. Yeah.
I liked his green suit. Yeah. I also liked the I hope that I'm using the right word, the burqa that the woman was wearing.
Yeah.
A nice burqa. That was my favorite scene. That was my favorite part of the film. That's the only thing that I remember.
There was something particularly memorable about that scene, though, wasn't there?
So. Yeah.
I hated that. That was the worst one.
Me too.
And it went on for so long. Some of them were quite short.
No part of this conversation anymore.
Really grotesque.
Yeah, it's just disgusting for the sake of being disgusting. I had the same feeling watching that as I had watching the Jim Carrey Grinch film, where he like gets a banana peel out of the trash and eats it and burps, and all the 8-year-olds in the cinema go ha 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 ha, and everyone else just goes what. It was just horrible for no reason.
And the 8-year-olds you were watching with thought it was funny?
Presumably they would have done. Yeah, so it didn't make sense. Not even in a sort of, evokes some atmosphere kind of way. It was just bizarre and horrible, and I didn't like it. And that was the one that had to be like 15 minutes long. And then you've got the man and his daughter in the car picking her up from the party that was actually kind of interesting and could have, was worth something.
That's the one that stuck with me, just the cruelty that scene had in it was really something.
I didn't get it.
No? You don't think he... was very cruel to her.
Yeah, I thought he was cruel to her, but again, I thought it had no substance behind. I didn't understand. I was just grasping to understand anything that was happening, and I just was annoyed at how rubbish it was. So again, even if there was a good scene, I just couldn't take it in because I was just annoyed at the entitlement of the director of thinking I would be interested in watching that.
Yeah, so I did have this thought watching it, which was like, if they are filming this for some agency for other people to watch, and like who is it that's watching these scenes? And I realized it was me. I'm responsible for
Better.
That. And yeah, it felt very, it was a sudden like Black Mirror moment, like, is this just saying that people watch any shit we sit in front of them? Like,
and look, we did it. Because we made a film that was shit and it won the Palme d'Or.
Yeah. Look at yourself. Look at what you're watching. You can't understand why anyone would watch this, and you're sitting watching it.
So which the answer was like, yes, you make a good point. I'm now never going to watch anything you make ever again. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You've convinced me that this was a worthless experience.
I felt personally attacked by that.
Cinema is dead.
That's the frustrating thing, though, right? You're right, Claire. Like, probably someone who was making this was thinking something along those lines, was thinking like, this being shit is a commentary on something, and this is brilliant, and we're going to change everyone's life. And I really resent them for that.
Do you remember that short film we watched?
Yes, I heard it in my voice as I was saying that.
I can barely remember it, but at some point I remember the teacher going, it's not art, it's just boring.
Yeah.
You've bored me. Like, yeah, I get that. That's how I feel.
Yeah, the girl who's doing paintings at an art college, and yeah, her teacher is, was it Canadian?
I can't remember.
And he was going, I don't want you to go home and think, oh, I'm a failed artist. Oh, that's so meaningful. I failed. This was just boring.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's how I feel. I want to shake them.
You've clearly got the budget for a proper film.
Yeah, and even you've clearly got some ability to make sort of striking visual stuff.
Do you think? Because I thought it was incredibly visually boring.
Oh,
sorry, I'm being. I'll try and.
So, what about like when he goes into the motion capture suit and goes onto the big dark sound stage with the dots on and starts doing cool acrobatic tricks, and that was visually striking, right? That was interesting. Or the like 15 accordions marching through a cathedral, these long
shots.
That
was good. Yeah, I liked that.
And that
was a highlight.
When the highlight of the film is the interval, that's an issue.
Exactly, yeah. But again, could that build not to, you know, oh, we did this for 30 seconds and then went on to some weird thing about someone getting murdered in a warehouse, or let's have this all build up to, and it turns out they're dragons having sex in a motion capture animation. Like, did all of it have to be so wasted? That can they come up with some way that this was good? Like, imagine, you know, do you ever see the film Tron?
Yes.
Yes.
In the 80s? And they made some remake of it recently that I didn't see. But imagine someone with the talent and the budget and the skills to do what they did in that motion capture scene. And imagine someone like that doing the effects for Tron. They could do so much great stuff, but instead they put it into this. Like, or was this all an audition? Was this the whole film just so that like 9 different technical directors could say, oh, I did that scene in that artsy film? Oh, I don't know.
Who knows?
It's a shame no one liked this. That could have been an interesting conversation.
Yeah. She's got people moaning for an hour now.
Maybe we should have got one of the 92% of critics who apparently liked it.
Go on Letterboxd. It's got 3.9 on Letterboxd, and pretty much every other review is just raving about how amazingly transcendental this film is. And it just made me feel so stupid. Oh, I just don't get it. I think you're all lying.
Can I, like, send them a message?
Yeah, you can leave a comment.
Be like, the fuck you on about?
Start a flame war on Letterboxd, yeah.
Feels like the Emperor's New Clothes.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, everyone flattering themselves and each other and yeah, talking about how great this was.
Mm-hmm.
And only we can see. They're all just naked. What I don't get is that Southland Tales was such a flop.
Yeah.
See, this was my point about Southland Tales, wasn't it? Well, and that's what I've said every time. I've said it was maybe just genius and we didn't get it.
Yes.
Maybe it was an astonishing piece of art that we didn't get, just like Holy Motors.
In many ways, it was like Holy Motors. I think Holy Motors was better than Southland Tales, but I don't think it was much better. I think it was bad in many of the same ways. It was just sort of deliberately disgusting and rubbish and weird for the sake of being weird and didn't have anything to back it up.
Jimmy.
Beauty! Beauty!
Harry!
Beauty!
Harry!
Beauty!
Harry!
Beauty.
weird. So weird. It's so weird. Weird. Weird.
Yeah, I did think of Southland Tales. I couldn't pick between them which one I disliked more. Probably nah. Southland. I don't know. I got something out of Southland Tales.
At least, yeah. Nah, I don't know. I think I dislike this one more because other people seem to get it and I just...
Yeah, that's annoying, isn't it?
Don't know what they're seeing. Right, so I've got The Guardian. The Guardian gave it a 5-star review.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to find a line that we could argue against.
Bring in a straw man, that's what we need.
Yeah.
Someone who can't defend themselves. What's the Rotten Tomatoes review summary? That just says what it is. Critics consensus. Mesmerizingly strange and willfully perverse, mm-hmm. Holy Motors offers an unforgettable visual feast alongside a spellbinding, albeit unapologetically challenging narrative.
I mean, that's all true, but none of it's good.
You shouldn't describe films as challenging in praise. If it's challenging, it's not good.
No, challenging can be good if it makes you, if it like challenges your assumptions, if it makes you think.
I mean, challenging in the way of like, oh yeah, I suppose that's true. I suppose I mean challenging in a quite a basic sense of being like, that was difficult to watch.
Yes.
I was really challenged to watch that. As though that's
a challenge not to turn it off in boredom. Yeah. Yeah, there are different kinds of challenging, aren't there?
Should we just talk about Johnny English instead?
Yeah, maybe we should. Mm. I mean, I'm pretty tired. We can have a short meeting. I don't need to talk about this as much as we talked about Princess Mononoke.
Yeah, by talking about it, we're just giving them what they want.
Indulging them.
Maybe.
There must be, there's some, what were your favourite scenes? Or have we talked about this already?
Yeah, that's a good one. So I liked the dad picking up his daughter, and I liked the old man dying with his niece.
Yes, me too.
A bit. The old man dying with his niece was kind of weird because they were saying some stuff that didn't really make much sense. But whatever. And the father and daughter one was kind of nice. I wanted to know what happened next in that story.
Oh, that's something.
Or wanted to know a bit more about them. Yeah, that's something.
Fernando, did you have a favourite scene?
Well, yes, the one with the leprechaun and the woman in the burqa. But then, now that I think about it, I also enjoyed the scene with the father and his daughter. And he's right; she should be punished for being herself.
Yeah, that was a brutal thing to say at the end, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just made you think about how he'd obviously been hurt like that in his life. Sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, just how horrible that scene. That sort of stuck with me just because it was so... I don't know, there was something about that scene that I thought was well done. Again, it was the less absurd things that were good for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, the old man dying. What were the other things? Like, a lot of the conversation with Kylie Minogue was quite engaging until she started singing.
Where were we then? Who would we have been if...
That was bullshit.
Oh, was that Kylie Minogue?
Yeah.
Wow.
I just knew Kylie Minogue was in it. I figured it must have been her, but I don't really know what she looks like.
Didn't recognise her.
Yeah, that was her. And then she actually dies at the end of her scene.
Yeah.
That was a bit... Again, how does that fit in with this? They're all acting thing. Like, it was so inconsistent. And then he gets stabbed in the neck. And gets shot multiple times when he's shooting the banker. Like, was that one of the scenes? What? I don't know.
it was challenging.
Yeah.
It challenged us.
Yeah, in the same way, it's challenging.
The real. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's as if it was meant to make us wonder a bit and be, yeah, allow us to interpret in a way that would be interesting for us. So like when he meets Kylie Minogue, it appears that they've bumped into each other in traffic and he hasn't met her for years and this is not one of his appointments and they're not acting.
Mm-hmm.
But then she starts singing.
Yep.
And so if she's singing, maybe it is one of the scenes, maybe the whole thing is a scene. And when she dies at the end, do we know whether she died for real or whether that was part of her scene or what's going on? And I think it's meant to be saying something about, oh, that, you know, in this world, it's difficult to tell what's real and what's not. But it was showing us stuff and there were a whole load of things that were not uncertain. They were just unclear. They were just poorly told.
Mm.
Like what the driver's relationship to the whole thing was, where she would sort of get involved in some of the scenes and she was like visibly upset about things,
mm-hmm.
but then she'd sort of be fine when they were back in the car. And I don't think I'm an idiot and I wasn't understanding the film.
Mm.
I think they just pushed it too far with open to interpretation. It wasn't like, oh, did they or didn't they? Like, is he still inside the dream at the end of Inception or whatever? You can do that with one or two things. You can't just do it for the entire story.
Oh, you can if it's a commentary on cinema itself.
Yeah, there we are.
Someone said it was about how we're always acting in our lives.
Right.
That seems so insubstantial that I can't make anything of it. You know, the whole point is that we're always just refracting who other people want us to be.
Yeah.
But I think this is just stretching.
Bitten off someone's fingers because that's the version of me I'm being at that moment.
Then you don't understand beauty.
I see. Maybe there's something in that. Maybe it is. Because the acting in each scene was very good. Like this is a guy who's just read a single page summary of his character and is walking into a scene and acting it out. We have to assume that he knows nothing going into each of those scenes. So maybe there is some idea that we do just we make it up as we go along and maybe become these different characters.
Mm.
This was just an exaggeration of that to make that point.
Maybe they were all saying something about life. You know how the swimmer was doing each house was a different thing?
Yeah.
What did it all mean? Maybe it did all mean something.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about the swimmer a couple of times, not least because they were like, you've got 9 appointments. Like, oh God, are these the planes of purgatory or whatever, or the circles of hell that he's in? And they're each going to represent a different heavenly virtue or something. But thank God, no.
As far as you know.
As far as I know. No, I'm just going to stick with no. I watched it and I was looking for that and it wasn't there. Yeah, in the swimmer, they were all linked and they were all about people from his life and they all fed into this running story with this. Like, who... What were the... This is how out of touch the director must have been. So the stupid sci-fi thing they're hinting at is that there are millions of tiny invisible cameras that are flying around and could be filming people.
Yeah.
And so this is someone who's doing scenes where you can't see the cameras and he doesn't know where the cameras are, but he's just doing the scenes in character to produce something. But he's doing each of these like completely out of nowhere. And this would imply that there are millions of people sitting at home with like hidden camera Netflix. But the only thing that's on hidden camera Netflix is bullshit artsy short films that are like 25 minutes long and are wordless and don't connect to each other in any way. There's him having this scene with his, where he's dying with his niece talking to him, and then he asks at the end, "Oh, what's your name, by the way?" Because they've never acted before. So are they just going to film that one scene and someone wants to watch that, and then they're just going to watch something else?
Claire hit the nail on the head. We are the audience for this.
But no one would actually dedicate their life to making this sort of film.
No, but it's not a film. This is what was definitely happening. It's not meant to be a film. There's some mechanism by which people can ask for a scene to be acted out. They can be like, oh, wouldn't it be weird if a guy went in to assassinate someone and then it turned out it was him? And then this agency, like, they figure it all out and set it all up. And then you can just be like, oh, yeah, that's the 11-minute scene I had imagined. And then it's just you watch it. It's just really rich people with really bad imaginations. like really rubbish fanfic, and someone's just given them the prompt and then they get to see it acted out.
Yeah, okay.
You were doing the work that the director couldn't be bothered to do.
Yes, yeah.
But like, well done, I like that. Yeah, that's better than...
It's a bit more sinister. I like the idea that, you know, just be like, can we just... All these anthropologists being like, oh, can we just film someone begging on one of the famous Paris bridges for an hour and we can study people's reactions and...
Yeah.
Is that what anthropologists do? I don't know. Something to do with people.
Yeah, pretty much.
So yeah, it's this sinister network that's set up. So no one's watching the entire disconnected short scenes. It's just people paying for individual scenes.
So many of them seem to be scenes that would only be of value to anyone if they were part of a longer work.
That's why they're... like fanfic, it's like someone being like, oh, well, what if the scene had gone this way? And then you can see it.
I see. Yeah, and it doesn't bother them that it's different actors and stuff.
No.
Yeah, okay.
No. No, the leprechaun one, I've just got nothing. That's...
Yeah, who's come up with that?
Yeah. Well, it's just stoned people. You know, like...
Yeah.
University students sitting around.
Well, I guess this is what I'm getting at. The director of this film didn't think, like, oh, and then he does a scene in EastEnders, and then he does a scene where he's in a walk-on character in a Scandinavian murder drama or something. And that he's just gone for... All he's doing all day is doing weird artsy films, because surely that's what people like, right?
Yeah, that's what everyone watches all the time.
Imagine a world where that's the only kind of thing that gets filmed. And that's the only kind of thing that these people are requesting. Yeah, very poor.
I've seen, I went in expecting it to be poor, because I have seen this director's other film, Annette.
Okay.
Which at least was a story.
Okay.
It had a plot, but it was as weird and sort of meandering and just bizarre stuff happened.
Mm.
It's Adam Driver and Marion Cotillard, so I went in with high hopes, and it's a full musical as well, so the whole every...
Oh, great.
I'm not sure they talk, I think they just sing. And they can't, neither of the leads can sing either, so that's the other thing about it, but I'm sure that was on purpose.
Oh yeah, it's a commentary on bad films.
Oh, so yeah, it's Adam Driver and Marion Cotillard are a couple who have a baby. Oh, and the baby's a puppet for no reason.
Oh, okay. Why not?
Adam Driver off of Star Wars.
Yeah.
He's changed his type, hasn't he?
Should we do some games?
Yeah.
How was this film like Godzilla?
The song. They used the same song in one of the scenes.
Did they?
What song?
Wait, did you not recognize it? I think it...
No.
Okay. Well, I guess I will have to go back to the film and watch it. But when I was listening to... Well, there was one scene and it obviously had some music. And I was like, oh, this is Godzilla's music. So I swear they used the same song from precisely the film that we watched, Godzilla, the original one.
Oh, there we go.
Well, let me try and see if Google can answer our question.
That's amazing. That's a real, actual connection, not a contrived thing we come up with.
You won't know.
Oh, great. How would we... Who were we all? Presumably meaning as characters in individual sketches.
I want to be Celine.
Interesting. Why do you want to be Celine?
Because she gets to drive a limo. And she seemed nice enough most of the time.
She's the only one who really reacts to anything.
Yep. Yeah, she's possibly the only one who displayed any emotion that wasn't acting. It was part of the film in a film.
Yeah, good stuff.
I'll be the dad.
Your punishment is to be you.
Just be casually cruel.
Poor wee girl. She just didn't want to go to the party. Mm. I so understand that.
Okay, so Wikipedia says that yes, they did use the track Sinking of Bingo Maru from Godzilla. And apparently it is indeed when the leprechaun is running through the graveyard. Was it a graveyard? Well, running through Paris.
Wow. Oh, well spotted.
Is that him terrorizing the city?
Yes, it was him terrorizing the city, just like Godzilla was terrorizing Tokyo.
He's Godzilla.
Brilliant.
That, yeah. Excellent work.
I never recognize like music from films after one go.
I can't even remember Godzilla.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I've forgotten that we'd watched it.
Who do you think you are, Fernando?
The leprechaun.
You're
either the leprechaun or the woman wearing the burqa.
Yeah.
Oh, the leprechaun's called Monsieur Merde.
Yeah, did you say that on the screen?
Mr. Shit.
Brilliant. Oh, well.
We should have just called the film Mr. Shit.
Yeah.
Mr. Shit takes a shit on the screen.
Would have saved us some time. Right, well, that's those two.
Oh, you cast yourself, games. Michael.
Yeah, who are you?
Oh, no. I think I'm the limo at the end who asks all the other limos to be quiet because he's trying to sleep.
Yeah. Well, that's nice.
Very good. Well, we strung that out for an hour.
Yeah.
Christ.
Does anyone well have anything worth saying?
I enjoyed our conversation. It's nice to get my hate on every once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. It's nice to all agree as well. Mm. It's a good way. This is how communities like grow and bond, right? Just an external enemy that we all agree we don't like.
Well, then, I can only apologize.
Oh, no, thank you.
You didn't know.
I mean, thank you for this experience. One should always have like as many experiences as one can.
That's a very nice way to think about it.
The problem is you've only got so much time in your life, and that's another that there are many experiences we could have had instead. But whatever.
Yeah. We're all allowed to, you know. It doesn't have to be a good film in Film Club.
Yeah, and you've got to pick some stinkers sometimes so that you can, like, you pick the song catcher because you sort of vaguely had some idea of what it was about and didn't know much about it, and that was amazing. So.
Hit and miss system.
Yeah, it's a very hit and miss system. I heard the name of a film, therefore that's the one I pick.
Yep. But it's much more interesting, like, this is my favourite film. You all better like it.
Yeah, or why don't we watch another Bounty film?
Savage.
You bloody bastard.
Oh, well.
It's just good to have some meat for the worst ox, the worst film category.
Yes.
Yeah, that's straight in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An early lead.
Ready for the music?
Mais oui.
Oh. Sorry. Sorry.
I think it's Laura and Fernando still to choose.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah.
Scissors.
Oh, hang on. Let me think. Rock.
Well, he's gone straight in there by saying scissors, not because he thought that was really his guess, but because he knows you're now going to overthink it, trying to think whether he's going to stick with scissors or change his mind.
That's a hell of an accusation.
He's a criminal mastermind.
I think Fernando knows you, Laura.
I'm going online to a random generator.
Excellent.
You won't know what I'm going to pick. Right. Ready.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Paper.
Rock. Damn it.
You overthought it.
Oh, well, Fernando, you beat the internet.
Yeah.
Wow. That was me.
Absolutely. <bro. laughs>
Well. Are you in the mood for something of epic length?
Yes.
No, wait a minute. I know what this is going to be.
In that case,
okay. You mean 12 hours of length? No, sorry. Go ahead. Don't be prejudiced by my...
Yeah, you do you, Fernando.
You do okay. You. We're all allowed to pick what we want.
And maybe I should just copy and paste the title because it's in French and I'm probably not going to be able to.
Le chagrin et la pitié.
Right.
Another film about the French. Have we suffered enough?